E1, number 19B.
We know that the Christianity order, that Ianity of the Christ, that realm of the Christ, is principle, then mind, then soul, then spirit, and life, truth, and love. Yeah. This is the order which we find in the glossary of these seven synonymous terms. The glossary giving really the Christianity sense, the spiritual sense of things in the place of material sense of things. We know that Christianity is the outcome of the Christ idea, so it's the output of the Christ idea. And therefore, we must always have in the focus of our consideration that here the idea is being focused on, that we ask about the nature of the idea. See, in the Word we are asking about the nature of God. In Christianity we ask about the nature of idea. And idea is always something that is an idea of a synonymous term. So in order to find out the bigness of the nature of idea, we have to view the idea from the standpoint of the synonymous terms. Now, we have to ask ourselves, what are the main categories that should be under consideration here? Again, that's the most difficult question, and I would like to say, don't take yet what we do here as a final structuring of these terms. It's a first approach, and perhaps we find, as we go on, some polished sense of the structure. But I think we can somehow see a few subcategories here in Christianity. Namely, if Christianity has to do with the outcome of the synonymous terms, then certainly we will have to have first the question, what is the nature of idea? The idea is the outcome. So a question, perhaps in this second column, is the nature of idea. The nature of idea. In a colloquial way, I always say, how big is an idea? That's, I think, what is shown here in this category, saying, how big is an idea? In other words, what is the nature of an idea? We should not be happy and satisfied just by saying, well, there is principle and there is idea, and that there is ideas, and idea is idea, and the idea is an idea of principle. We should really ask, well, what is the nature of idea? And therefore, we can ask here the question about the outcome, again, from the divine standpoint, so to say. From the divine standpoint, we see here that when we go out from the synonymous terms, that we see the divine nature of idea. So the nature of idea is anyway divine. We can't have human nature of idea. So, in a way, it's perhaps saying things twice. An idea is divine, or the nature of an idea is divine. Then we can ask, what other categories should be under consideration if it has to do with Christianity, the outcome. What is the outcome of an idea when we put it into the human connotation? The human connotation is really outcome, namely humanhood, manhood, or true humanhood, true manhood. You see, the outcome of God is man, and we are here in Christianity, and therefore somehow we find here a description of true humanhood. Therefore, what makes true humanhood when the human is thinking in terms of ideas? And because we have in Christian Science the relationship between truth and error, we naturally also will find at least one category which shows us the opposite of the nature of idea or true humanhood, and that would be mortal manhood. You see, there are again different questions. We haven't taken the same questions as we have taken in the world and put the same categories in the Christ and now in Christianity. Each one asks different questions and therefore need different categories to answer those questions. Here we can, with some logic, really and truly say all these categories must have. We have a very objective standard to test if our categories are rightly put. We have an objective standard because they all must be categories about the outcome, because they are Christianity. So one category is the outcome of the synonymous term, namely the nature of idea. Another outcome is the outcome in the human of the nature of idea, namely man and the universe, true humanhood, because man is not origin, he's outcome. And another category would be the opposite of true humanhood, or the opposite of the nature of divine idea, namely what we call mortal manhood. See, in the Christ we had a question of accepting and rejecting. Completely different, huh? It's, are we going to let the Christ translation happen or not? Here it is, what kind of effect do we have when the divine principle or the synonymous term express themselves as ideas? When these ideas are touching the human, they give the true sense of humanhood, and that destroys the false sense of ideas, namely mortal manhood. So I feel that up to this point, perhaps we can take in more categories, but to make it at least rather straight cut, or what you say, clear cut, I think we can take these categories and reason out what these categories tell us. So we start with the divine nature of ideas. And through that order of principle, mind, soul, spirit, demonstrating life, truth, and love, we really get a line of reasoning which brings us to a complete sense of the nature of an idea. What is shown here, therefore, is not those hundreds of different ideas. That is not the purpose of it. It's not telling us the various hundreds and hundreds of various different ideas with which we have to do in the science of being. It shows much more the nature of any one of those ideas. Can you see that? We don't here show the nature of the idea of power, or the nature of the idea of intelligence, or the idea of substance, or the idea of identity, or the idea of balance, or of symmetry, or the idea of system, or the idea of exaltation. We don't show the ideas. We show the nature of each one of these ideas. That is being shown here. And through this order here, which we see in principle first, that principle is really the one principle of all ideas. We begin right away and say the nature of all ideas is that these ideas are fixed or rooted in one principle. However you put it down, in the way that you say, that you state that all the infinite ideas have one principle. So we show the nature of idea already by seeing that all ideas have one principle. Or you could say, principle says, all ideas are my ideas. And you see, it starts by just saying that every idea has the one and the same principle. Or that from principle come infinite ideas. And so principle can say, all ideas are rooted and fixed in the one and only principle. So that every idea, therefore, really operates according to one principle. So we get the nature of every one of those ideas, namely, that they have a principle. That they have one common principle. Once this is established, that all ideas have one principle, mind says at once, yes, and all is idea. See, it begins now to say that there is nothing else but idea. So mind says, all is idea. Just showing that the universe, the nature of being, is of the nature of idea, not of the nature of idea plus of the nature of matter, but gives that realm of mind which says, all, that's the thing, all is of the nature of idea. Or all is idea. Can you see how you start with principle and principle saying, I am the principle of all ideas. Then mind comes and says, yes, and all is idea. Saying there is nothing else but idea. Huh? All is idea. And then the question comes and says, but if all is idea, what is then the quality of the idea? And soul says, every idea is of the identical quality as its principle. So you have each idea, you can say, is identified with principle, is identified But perhaps it gives you more insight if you say that each idea is of the same quality, of the same nature. See, that's identification. That it is of the same. Same is identity. Same, the term same. You see, self sameness is identity. Is of the same nature as its principle. Naturally, this is terrific. You can see that, that this insight shows that every idea, whatever the idea is, if you are considering the idea power or the idea intelligence or the idea substance or the idea reality or the idea understanding or the idea life or whatever idea you consider, it shows here that each idea has the same quality as its principle, as God. That an idea is not just a little part of the whole, but that qualitatively it's exactly identical with its principle. I will come back to it again here, because soul is a very interesting point in that development. But you begin to realize that an idea is always, whatever that idea is, identified in nature, in quality, with its principle. And if every idea, see, is identified with its principle, if every infinite idea is identified with one principle, then you can see that every idea via principle is actually identified with the with each other, via principle. If all ideas have one principle, then each idea is somehow identified with each other idea, or in other terms, each idea reflects each other idea. Because spirit is reflection. Yeah? In other words, you get the universal reflection. You could also put there universal reflection, as long as one knows what is implied by it, namely, that an idea never stands alone. It's never an isolated idea, but that because it is fixed in principle, it reflects each other idea. Can you see how one synonymous term leads to the other and comes to the point where, at the point of spirit, you really feel that you have a big universe of ideas, where each idea is reflecting each other idea, where no idea can stand alone, is never isolated, that each idea supports the other idea, maintains the other idea, provides each other idea, upholds each other idea, nurtures every idea, accepts every other idea. In short, what I've been saying is now life, truth, and love, namely that each idea reflects life. See? Therefore, we get the fatherhood. I use now here this symbol, which I actually don't like, but we will substitute it soon afterwards. It's the fatherhood of idea, the sonship of idea, and the motherhood of idea. What this implies, we want to show then slowly afterwards, this evening perhaps, to show that when we have arrived at spirit, where each idea reflects each other idea, naturally then you ask yourself fundamentally, what on earth do they reflect to each other? Naturally, you can say they reflect each other, and if you have infinite ideas, then infinite ideas reflect each other. That's spirit. But the essence of reflecting is really life, truth, and love. Namely, that each idea as life is fathering each other idea. Therefore, providing and supporting and upholding each other idea. That in truth, each idea is sonshipping every other idea. And in love, that each idea is mothering every other idea, no matter what the idea is. These ideas can be infinite, diversified ideas, but the main thing is that each idea expresses fatherhood, sonship, and motherhood to every other idea. Because life, truth, and love is really the essence of being, and therefore are the highest symbolization and summary of being. Let's go over this sequence again. Because now we have seen the whole sequence, perhaps as we go over it, we can expand on it and just get a clearer sense of it. Christianity is the outcome of the divine principle. So Christianity has its focus on ideas. We are investigating the nature of ideas. We are not investigating the nature of God, which is the Word, nor investigating the Christ, namely how God comes to idea, manifests itself as idea. But we take up the subject right after the Christ, because you can see the first two synonymous terms are principle mind, namely the framework of the Christ translation. The framework of the Christ translation was that principle translates itself to the point of idea in mind. See, at that point Christianity takes up the subject and says, yes, but this translation that principle expresses itself in terms of ideas is not only going on once, but always, always. And so all is idea of principle. Can you see that? So principle says all ideas are my ideas. But it also says I, principle, translate myself into the form of ideas, so all is idea, mind. And once you have reached that you feel, oh, now I get nearer to the universe of idea, namely that all is mind, therefore all is idea, then thought asks, how big is the idea? And soul comes and says it is as big as its principle. That the nature of an idea is qualitatively the nature of the infinite. And you can see right away that you could, at this point of soul, really could interlace a whole story at that point and could say, what on earth does that mean, practically, that the nature of an idea is the nature of its principle? Well, you could see and say, what kind of ideas do I need? I need, for instance, the idea of intelligence. And at the point of soul says, all right, the nature of our intelligence is the nature of the infinite one. So that the intelligence of an idea is the intelligence of the infinite one. We can go to spirit and say that the substance of an idea is the substance of the Infinite One. You can go to soul and can see that the capacity of an idea is the capacity of the Infinite One. You can go to principle and see that the spiritual power of an idea is the spirit power of the Infinite One. You can go to life and see that the eternality of an idea is the same as the eternality of the Infinite One. You can go to truth, you are still in soul, huh? You can go to truth and say that the standard of an idea is the standard of the Infinite One. You can go to love and can see that the plane of an idea is the plane of the Infinite One. See, all that you can take in here in soul, because you say each idea is identified with its principle, but then you can say, what does that mean? Not just say, well, an idea is identified with its principle. Then you can take any idea and see that the nature of that idea is the nature of the Infinite One. And you just get that feeling, you see, that if you touch the idea, you touch the Infinite. That's what consciousness must accept. That if we touch an idea, we don't touch just a small part of the Infinite. We always touch the Infinite. Because right afterwards you have spirit, because it says every idea reflects all other ideas. Therefore the Infinite. And so each idea, therefore, is supporting every other idea in life, is affirming every idea in truth, and is welcoming and accepting every idea in love.